on the dribble with a left-hand dribble. Now he's picked up by Nesmith. He wants the ball in his hands with 4 seconds left. Giannis fades. Giannis fires. Tough shot. And he hits it at the horn.
Bucks Talk starts now.
A game winner for the Greek Freak. Fading and firing and silencing the house here at Cambridge Fieldhouse.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, it feels good to leave Indy with a win, although I think we're all getting major flashbacks there in the final 3 minutes, really throughout the 48 minutes after the first quarter. That Pacers voodoo just seems to really impact the Bucks more than other teams, and it felt like, here we go again with this Indiana Pacers team, but the Bucks able to win this one in Miles Turner's return to Indiana. And the second ever buzzer beater from Giannis, and the first in nearly 9 years that we've seen from him. We've seen game winners from Giannis. Only one has been a jump shot, and only one has also been at the buzzer. So just the second time that he's done this in a regular season game, as the Bucks now 5-2 to start the season. 855-616-1620. Is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So again, you got the third best record in the Eastern Conference. Giannis continues to look like the MVP. Another night where you had 6 double-digit scores. Still kind of waiting, and you felt like maybe tonight was the night for Miles Turner to start to come around and consistently knock down some threes. Miles Turner, you know, ended up with 5 blocked shots tonight, 3 coming in the first quarter. A big one in the fourth quarter as well to just get a piece of that, I think, on the Ben Shepherd attempt. And 2 big threes to start the game. But I'm sure there was a lot of emotion there for Miles Turner. And he spent a lot of time at shoot-around talking with a couple local reporters for the Bucks. But basically, this was Indiana's chance to catch up with Miles Turner. They had a couple of reporters out there at Summer League when the Bucks held the introductory press conference for Miles Turner, who could get some questions off, but a lot has changed. And a lot has been said by Miles Turner since then. So this was an opportunity for that group to seek some clarification from Miles Turner. We'll get to those comments coming up a little bit later in the show, but plenty of time to hear from you. Second time ever, Giannis Antetokounmpo delivers a game-winning buzzer beater. And look, the process wasn't pretty. We're going to choose to celebrate the results while acknowledging there's a lot in this process that needs to be cleaned up, especially these last 2 games. And there's another reason why this was very important to win tonight. Not only the fact that the Pacers are your dreaded rival, the optics of Miles Turner returning, the optics of blowing another big lead in a game that started to feel like shades of certainly Game 5 a season ago in a lot of games against the Indiana Pacers through the last 2 years. But there was one other big reason that made this very important for the Bucks to win tonight. We'll get to that coming up momentarily here. But again, the number to join us tonight and revel in the glory of Giannis with his second ever buzzer beater and a 5-2 start for your Bucks, 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. Back with more after this on Bucks Talk. 117-115 final tonight. The Bucks beat the Indiana Pacers on a buzzer beater from Giannis and now start the season 5-2. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned this was, I don't want to use must win this early in the season. It's week 3 in the NBA regular season. But this was a very important game for the Bucks to win. Not only, I don't know how much you weighed it here, but the mentality of, oh, you got to beat the Pacers, and especially Miles Turner making his debut. I going back to the weekend, I think we talked about this after the Kings game. I was very happy that the Pacers did, in fact, beat the Warriors, because the last thing I wanted to see was a winless Pacers team welcoming Miles Turner and the Bucks back to Indiana. I mean, they were clearly up for this, and there's just that DNA in the Pacers, and Rick Carlisle is a very, very good coach as well. You got to play 48 minutes to beat this team. So I think that was a component here It was bizarre, too. And I know you could tell Miles Turner, I don't know if I would say was rattled, but Miles Turner was clearly in the early going impacted and affected by it. I mentioned he talked after shoot-around earlier today, and it was a majority of Indiana reporters that were there to see clarification. And I don't know how much of this is Miles Turner left to go to the Pacers' rival that set off the Indiana fan base because, look, I mean this with all due respect, it's a rivalry, it's a larger rivalry for the Bucks than it is the Pacers. It's like that with any rivalry. If you're the team that wins, the other team hates you more and more and more, and it becomes a bigger rivalry for them. The Pacers have dominated the Bucks. So this felt like that is your most hated team. It's a big rival for the Bucks. I'm not going to say there's nothing there for the Pacers. There clearly is. But I think it was bigger with the Bucks. And in many ways, this was, you know, something that I think Milwaukee sports fans have experienced the inverse of. Because it's really almost like Craig Counsell leaving the Brewers to go to the Chicago Cubs. And Craig Counsell at his introductory press conference talking about competing for championships. And maybe not quite to the level that Miles Turner did, but taking some backhanded shots at competitiveness and management and how in your management was, how financially invested they were willing to go. Obviously, Miles Turner is not an Indiana kid, but he played there 10 years. And, you know, I think we've already seen in his brief time here in Milwaukee, we've heard him talk about it, and I've run into him. I think everybody else has either seen Miles Turner out and about, they've run into him and talked to him. He embraces the community that he's in. He talked about this at Media Day. He's talked about this many times. And I think that adds to it how invested he was in the community in Indiana. I mean, he even said at shoot-around today, his organization still does things around the holidays, and he plans on spending time and coming back to Indiana as his schedule permits during the holiday season for those things, for his foundation and some charitable events that he's running here. So said, look, you're not going to be able to get rid of me even if you want to. But you could tell, I almost equated it to where you kind of know the answer, but you don't want to admit it. And hearing Miles Turner talk about the reception he expected to get, like he said all the right things. They're like, well, I don't know. And was even asked, how do you want the fans to receive you? And said, hey, that's up to them. But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be mixed, but you could tell part of him was hoping, like, I really hope that's not the case. I really hope you give me the golf clap when we do the pregame video and I'm introduced with the starting lineups. And then when I touch the ball during the game, you boo me. But it was instead, I don't think it was as vicious as the Craig Counsell treatment, but it was a majority boos. It was spattered when they played his intro video, his tribute video. There was a majority of boos during the announcement of the starting lineups and Miles Turner playing for the Bucks. And then a couple of times when Miles Turner would try to do things offensively, there was boos there too. But the importance of winning this game, even though it's still early in the season here, the importance of winning this game is, look, we talked about the importance of getting off to a fast start. And really, the big thing, I suppose, is I don't know what's more important, to get off to a fast start or just to avoid a slow start. Like to say, there's a lot of new pieces, we're playing differently, we know it's going to be a little bit of work in progress, we can get there, we just can't bottom out early. We just can't go 2-8 again. Now, they're obviously in no danger of going 2-8 through their first 10 games, but you did not play well Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings. You did for the first quarter. And then after that, your defense went from 12th to 18th with one game because of that performance, to give up 132 points and just how easy they did it as well. So, number one, you needed a bounce-back game from that performance. You needed to piece together 48 better minutes of basketball. And quite frankly, I don't know that they did. But you won the game. But we've already seen Giannis on the injury report a couple of times. Given how early it is in the season, given that he missed a game with a left knee soreness, if you will, already, and, you know, given that there was a pretty hard fall in the last minute of this game, actually, it wasn't even the foul. It was an out-of-bounds call that should have been a foul, and that's something that we heard from Doc Rivers again, the fouls. I don't know that, never say never, I don't know that I'd plan on Giannis playing this game tomorrow. So you were facing, hey, we come here, we play good enough through the first quarter, and then those ghosts reappear and more of the same bad habits pop up, and before you know it, we lose. We've lost two in a row. We're 4-3, still early, but we're 4-3. Then we got to go on the road in Toronto, a team that's played somewhat better. But again, that's a Raptors team that expects to be a playoff team. And you've already beaten once. They're going to want to atone for that. I don't know that we're going to see Giannis tomorrow. So this could quickly go from, wow, the Bucks got off to a 4-1 start, to all of a sudden you're 500. And now through the first 10 games, you still got the the NBA Cup game with a red-hot Chicago Bulls team who finally lost. And then the Houston Rockets and their offense that has been off the charts this season coming to town. Like, you were all of a sudden looking at, after a 4-1 start, could we really be 4-6 or 5-5 through the first 10 games? So you needed to avoid that. You know, you're not going to tank your season now, but you're going to give yourself a big hole to dig out of. And again, you go back to last year. If the Bucks went 6-4 in their first 10 games instead of 2-8, which was basically the pace that they played at through the rest of the season, if you go 6-4, you're the 3 seed, and you're not playing the Indiana Pacers in the first round. I mean, it's an ultimate sliding doors, right? You're not playing the Pacers. You're playing the Pistons. And what if you win that series? And then you're moving on to the second round and playing the Boston Celtics. Who knows if things go your way and that's a better matchup. Damian Lillard doesn't get hurt. None of this happens, and it's a different-looking team. But it's the importance of not getting off to slow starts, not losing hold of the rope. And tonight it teetered on that. So that's what made this a really important win for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I mentioned you won. You love the results, not the process. There are a couple things that have lingered through these first seven games of the season where the Bucks absolutely need to improve. We'll dig into that coming up next. Buzzer beater from Giannis sends the Bucks to a 117-115 victory in Indiana tonight, getting a small semblance of revenge against the Indiana Pacers. You got to do it in the playoffs yet. And look, we'll get to the areas the Bucks need to clean up. What I'll say is this about this Pacers team again. You can see the DNA, right? And why most of Miles Turner's new teammates have already come up to him and made a point to ask him, like, what was it about you guys last year? Like, where did it come from? How did you have all these comeback victories? What was this never-say-die attitude? How did you foster that and spread it throughout the team? And asking him about the offensive movement, which, to be fair, we've largely seen a much different Bucks offense this season. I would say it's been much more enjoyable, which, you know, on the surface is crazy to suggest that this offense is much better. And not only that, it's much more fun to watch than a group that was led by Giannis and Damian Lillard for two seasons. But here we are. But what I'll say about the Pacers, you can see the fight that's in there. The injuries are what's going to be interesting. They had two more guys leave this game and not return. They were already down to I think just three guys from the playoff run that were available. TJ McConnell's out. Obi Toppin, Rick Carlisle already said, is out until February. Tyrese Halliburton isn't playing this year. So it's not a team that's going to quit whenever the tanking conversation comes up. But at some point, injuries may force your hand. And I was talking with somebody that covers the team last week when we were getting ready for this matchup too. And, you know, they made the point of, let's see where they're at around Thanksgiving. Because, you know, if guys still aren't coming back, if you're still down some major pieces in rotation, could they, especially with the state of the Eastern Conference, like cobble together a play-in appearance? Sure, right? Like even if Obi Toppin's out until February, McConnell's out for a month or month and a half, and Andrew Nembhard, let's say he misses a month or so, you get those guys back in December and January, like, yeah, you could still be a play-in tournament team. Let's not forget how good the Pacers were after January 1st a year ago. The difference is they had Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner on that team, which they will not this year. But the injuries may force their hand, where they're one of those organizations you don't want to tank, but sometimes the die has been cast. So let's keep an eye on that. Come mid to late November, if this Pacers team is still without those pieces, and you know, suddenly you look around and they're a team that's won three of their first 18 or 19 games, then all of a sudden you have to have that long, hard conversation of maybe we should just be really, really cautious with the rest of these guys. Maybe we should give them a little more time off. Maybe we should see what this guy looks like in the lineup, because this expects to be an even better draft class than what we saw last year. College basketball started officially tonight, by the way, and there's already some standout performances from players that weren't even lumped in with the names that you hear kicked around a lot. Boozer and A.J. DeBanta. Not even those guys. We're starting to see more and more of these performances. So this figures to be a loaded draft class this year. And the Pacers got their pick back, which is the one thing that doesn't get talked about quite as much. We all know what the New Orleans Pelicans did with their pick swap, which involves the Bucks from that Drew Holiday trade. Pelicans had the right to swap picks with the Bucks this upcoming summer. And look, you go back to the draft last year, there was a lot of questions over, are the Pelicans actually going to finish in front of the Bucks and they will be swapping that pick? How valuable is that pick going to be? That's a major trade chip. Well, then they trade it to the Atlanta Hawks, so they don't have that. And before they made that deal, they made a trade with the Pacers during the NBA Finals, one day before Tyrese Halliburton blew his Achilles, to give the Pacers next summer's pick back in exchange for a pick this previous draft. So you look at New Orleans, who may be the worst team in the league and could have had these two high lottery picks, and now they're both gone. So it just shows you how quickly the league changes. I mean, look no further than this game tonight. The players that were out for Indiana, Miles Turner on the floor for the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Okay, the areas that you'll take a win. You're not going to complain about a win, but you're going to point out there are things that need to be addressed and corrected. I said the Bucks went from 12th to 18th after, you know, to say disappointing is putting it mildly, a very, very disappointing defensive performance against the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. That's how you dropped, how far you dropped defensively. As of this moment, they still have the fourth best offense in the league, do the Bucks. Not too far behind Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets, who are currently number three. And again, that just adds even more spice and intrigue to a potential MVP debate. If Giannis is putting up the numbers that he's putting up, if this Bucks offense is rated as highly as it is, and if they're winning, why does he not have as much or more of a case than Nikola Jokic? But right now, just starting the third week of the regular season, Bucks are number four in offense, They were number 18 defensively coming into tonight. The good news, because every team scores 110 now, they are now tied with the Indiana Pacers for 14th in defensive rating. But the reason why that defensive rating is where it is right now is really a couple of things. But there's one that stands out quite a bit. There's turnovers, right? I don't think that's as much of an issue. And in fairness, even tonight, you know, the Bucks had more turnovers than the Pacers, but they scored more points off of turnovers than in Indiana. So how much of that is a product of, hey, their transition defense is improved versus luck or the Pacers turning the ball over? It's also a Pacers team. Despite what you saw tonight, it shouldn't really scare many in terms of their offense. So it does feel in many ways like these turnovers, Bucks are dodging bullets there. That has to be cleaned up. You have to value possessions. The other area is rebounding. And it's crazy to point that out and say it because it's an area with some of the same pieces, right? We talked about how much of a facelift this team got. It's an area with some of the same pieces, but Giannis, Bobby Portis, a team that was traditionally a top five defensive rebounding team. For the most part, they're a top five total rebounding team in terms of rebounding rate as well, but at the very least in the top 10 for basically the duration of the Giannis and Brook Lopez era. Right now through seven games, Bucks are 19th in defensive rebounding rate. So they have a defensive rebounding rate of 67.4. What that means is when the Bucks are on defense and the opponent misses a shot, 67.4% of the time, the Bucks are getting that rebound. So two-thirds of the time, you're getting the rebound. If that doesn't sound good, it's because it's not. You know, like you would love to be in the 80s or pushing 80. Right now, the leader is the New York Knicks, who have a 76.6 rate. So at the very least, three quarters. They haven't done that. And they have a total rebounding rate of 47.8, which is 24th in the league. So 47.8% of the time, when there is a missed shot, the Bucks are getting it. Your opponent is getting that ball more than you are. That's why your defense is starting to show some of these cracks. That absolutely has to be cleaned up. And look, I don't know how far the Bucks can climb for total rebounding rate because we've seen, as more teams are starting to sample with it and say, let's go back to crashing the offensive glass. The Bucks have not done that. It's also a little bit challenging when you play a four-out system with Giannis. You're not going to have guys in position for an offensive rebound. So your total rebounding rate, there is only so much you can do. If you're going to be a bottom 10 team, in all likelihood, I mean, the last few years have been bottom five on the offensive glass. But defensively, you have got to do a better job of closing out those possessions. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's go to the phone lines. Chad, who is in Indianapolis, you are at the game tonight. He joins us now. So I guess let's start with this. What was the reception like for Miles Turner?
Hey, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, me and my brother made the trip out to the game tonight. And just in the section we were in, there was a lot of booing for him. Like, it was probably like 90% boos. There was a few people clapping. It was a pretty hostile crowd. And with what you're saying about the game and stuff, I agree. And I'd say it was like kind of like the Cavs loss that we had. It was kind of the inverse of that where we lost, but there was a lot to walk away with.
Yeah.
And this game was just kind of more of a sigh of relief that we won.
Yeah. Were you there in time for the tribute video?
Yes, we were.
Was he booed through that?
Oh, yeah, the whole time through. It was pretty crazy.
What about, could you see Giannis' celebration on the court?
Me and my brother were kind of in shock of what happened because, like, it was just absurd. Like, my reaction was, I thought he hit it, and I looked at my brother, and he looked stunned, and I don't know. It was crazy. So we were looking at each other instead of what was going on in the court. So
I saw – thanks for the call, Chad. Before we let you go, any other thoughts on this one or what we've seen these first seven games from the Bucks?
Hey.
No? All right. I saw a lot of hurt feelings on social media over Giannis's thumbs down celebration by Pacers fans. I think it clearly there's a meaning behind it. So we'll get to that. And back to the rebounding. What has to clean up? What has to change for this Bucks team? We'll dig into that next. 117-115. Bucks beat the Pacers tonight on the second career buzzer-beating, game-winning shot from Giannis Antetokounmpo. They're 5-2 now to start the season. And there's certainly some areas that need to be cleaned up for this team. We can do that in due time. But 5-2, with all the uncertainty, ambiguity over the summer, even I think Bucks fans were high on this team and the makeup of this team coming into the season. But you also kind of needed to see that proof of concept. You needed to see, we saw a small sample of it and it worked. I think it's going to be even better with Miles Turner, but we got to see that to be proven right. And you can't make a season off of seven games, but I mean, so far, it looks like you're going to be proven right here. So that's the nice part of this, but yes, there is a lot to work on here. Defensive rebounding, especially. You got to shoot free throws better. And I think there's a reason for that as well. You got to protect the ball. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Who do we have that's leaving Indy, leaving the game? Adam, you're up next.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I was at the game tonight, too. At the end, I was able to see what Giannis did. He thumbs down to the crowd.
Yeah.
The reasoning why I think that was, I don't remember exactly when it was, but maybe a minute left in the game, Giannis goes up for the layup, hard foul. He goes down.
Yeah.
He's grabbing his calf, back his knee, something like that. The crowd immediately, they started booing him, and I was in shock. I'm like, he might be hurt here. I don't know what they're doing. So I'm thinking that's what it was. Obviously, we have a lot of history with this team. That could be part of it. You know, revenge we got on them.
Yeah, you would concur, too, it was overwhelming booze for Miles Turner?
Oh, yes, it was. There was a few people clapping, but it was booing through the entire tribute video. Every time he touched the ball, boo, you know. It was a wild experience to be at, so...
I mean, it's Craig Council returning to Milwaukee, basically.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's not exactly an Indiana
kid. He's not a local
kid. He's been there 10 years. Yeah.
But he goes to the rival and he says, I'm going there because I have a better chance to win.
Right. I do agree with that, Ben.
All right. Thanks for the call, Chad. Really quickly here. There's one other thing I want to point out about what Miles Turner said before the game in this shoot-around availability. I think Giannis's thumbs down was for Miles Turner, right? Like, maybe there was a part of it, fans booing him when he was down, but I think it was you booed this guy that was here for 10 years and made some big shots, played some big games for you, had some big moments, left, and really went out of his way to reiterate, nothing against the fans, nothing against my teammates. It's against the front office that I have this issue with. Like, you booed this guy, thumbs down to you guys as well. I think that's the message that Giannis was trying to make with that double thumbs down. The interesting things Miles Turner said. I do want to revisit some of that. We'll wrap up the show with that as we get set for night two of a back-to-back, first of the season, tomorrow in Toronto. We'll get to it next on Bucks Talk. All right, 117-115 final. Bucks beat the Pacers on a Giannis buzzer beater, only the second of his career. Before we wrap here, I mentioned Miles talked for about 7 minutes at shoot-around today, and he went out of his way. I know he's said it on other appearances, talked about it on Thanalysis, a week ago. He has tried to clarify, dating back to over the summer, that a lot of things can be construed as this. We've seen him interacting with some of his former teammates, but he took the opportunity today to reiterate, I have nothing but love for the city of Indiana, for their fans, for my teammates. And make no mistake, he used the phrase rug pulled out. This is the front office I have the issue with. I feel they pulled the rug out from under me. You know, they told me all along they're going to go on the luxury tax for the first time ever. I was going to be getting about $30 million a year. And then Tyrese Halliburton gets injured and you're ready to move on. And I've heard some numbers tossed around that the Pacers allegedly offered Miles Turner. It was not what the Bucks did. You've started to hear more and more that the annual dollars might have went up a little more than initially reported, but they were not offering him 4 years. They did not want to keep him. And I think that's the tough part for Miles Turner, as invested as he was in the community, to say, look, this wasn't my call. They didn't want me. And now I'm the villain whenever I return to Indy. So it's going to be fun. Three more times this season, one more time in Indiana. Tomorrow night, Bucks head to Toronto to take on the Raptors. 6:30 tip, 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk.